ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 18.
Ka,
ka,
ka, amusha,
amusha,
angri,
angri,
sarojarenum,
sarojarenum,
vismartam,
vismartam,
ishita,
ishita,
uman,
uman,
vajigran,
vajigran,
ya,
ya,
Vishpurat,
Vishpurat,
Bruvatapena,
Bruvatapena,
Bhume,
Bhume,
Bhanam,
Bhanam,
Kitta Antena,
Kitta Antena,
Kadashtakara,
Kadashtakara,
Koba Amushyangri Sarojarenu,
Koba Amushyangri Sarojarenu,
Vishmartami Shita Puman Vajigran,
Vishmartami Shita Puman Vajigran,
Yo Vishparad Bhruvita Pena Bhume,
Yo Vishparad Bhruvita Pena Bhume,
Dharam Kritantena Tarashchakara, Ova Amushyangri Sarojarenu
Ova Amushyangri Sarojarenu
Vismartami Shita Puman Vajigran
Vismartami Shita Puman Vajigran
Yo Vishpurad Bhruvita Pena Bhume
Yo Vishpurad Bhruvita Pena Bhume
Varam Kritantena Tarashtakara
Thank you.
Who else?
Who else?
Va.
Either.
Amusha. The Lord's. Angri. Feet. Sarojarenu.
Dust of the lotus.
Vismartam. To forget. Ishita.
May be able.
Puman.
Person.
Vijigran. Smelling.
Ya.
One who.
Vispurat.
Expanding. Bruvitapena. By the leaves of the eyebrows. Bhume.
Of the earth.
Bottom.
Burden.
Krita antena. By death blows. Chirashchakara.
Executed.
Translation. Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those who were burdening the earth. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna cannot be accepted as one of the human beings, even though he played the role of an obedient son. His actions were so extraordinary that by the simple raising of his eyebrows, he could deliver death blows to those who were burdening the earth. Om Gyanachimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshun Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We are in the midst of hearing Uddhava's remembrance of Lord Krishna. This Bhagavatam is a presentation of consciousness in relation to the Supreme Consciousness. First, we have to understand that there is such a thing as consciousness. And you may be surprised to know that there is not one single scientific instrument that can detect the presence of consciousness. The only evidence that consciousness exists is each of our own individual feelings that we have consciousness, and therefore we assume that other people also have consciousness. This ignorance of consciousness is the great fault of Western civilization, because if they cannot understand consciousness, how can they understand the soul? In the Shastra, particularly the Bhaktivedanta purports, consciousness is described as the energy of the soul, and also consciousness is described as being the soul. The soul is conscious, and the soul has consciousness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, you get the historical record of how different types of consciousness interact, especially how these consciousnesses interact with the Supreme Consciousness. This is what makes Bhagavatam so unique. Srimad Bhagavatam contains accounts of life on different planets, in different yugas, millions upon millions of years ago. Bhagavatam contains information about the spiritual world, and all of this information is presented through the medium of different consciousnesses, of great personalities. Therefore, we are recommended to become attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, because then, through the consciousness of persons like Vidura, Maitreya, Shukadeva Goswami, Uddhava, we can understand the Supreme Consciousness. We are not simply getting information. We're not simply getting religious theology. No, we are associating with the greatest levels of consciousness in both the material and spiritual worlds. This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us. Right now you're in the midst of Uddhava's ecstasy. You should not overlook this, or because of familiarity, think that there's nothing so special in what you're being presented here. No. Uddhava has been questioned by Vidura about Krishna. And Vidura's questions put Uddhava in a transcendental state of ecstasy. Bhagavatam is a collection of nested dialogues. That means one dialogue is nested within another dialogue. Overall, Shukadeva Goswami is presenting to Pritchik Maharaj. But within the presentation of Shukadeva Goswami, you'll find other dialogues, such as this one between Vidura and Uddhava. As the discussion goes on, you can also watch how the consciousnesses of the persons involved change. So you're feeling Uddhava's change in that he's been questioned by Vidura. The previous chapter contained so many questions by Vidura about Krishna. Now you're getting Uddhava's reaction. Uddhava became stunned. He became overwhelmed with the ecstatic symptoms, astasattvika. There are eight symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. And Uddhava demonstrated some of these symptoms, at least, and Vidura expertly noted, yes, this is the real thing. Uddhava is not completely in this world. Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport explaining how these greatest devotees of the Lord dwelled simultaneously in the material world and in the spiritual world. Just by hearing Vidura's questions, Uddhava lost track of his existence in the material world, and he simply focused on the Lord's lotus feet in the spiritual world, and therefore he became stunned and immobile when seen from the earthly point of view. But in terms of his Vaikuntha consciousness, he was active. After some moments, he manifested his consciousness once again in the earthly realm and began to answer Vidura. Now, it's pointed out in the Bhagavatam that we should not be surprised about this behavior of Uddhava, because since his birth, he was a great devotee of the Lord, playing with Radha Krishna, Archavigraha dolls, and always thinking of Krishna's service from the very beginning of his childhood. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that he himself also had that opportunity, and that this is normal for the Nitya-siddha devotees, the greatest devotees of the Lord. They manifest their attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in childhood. And then we hear further qualifications of Uddhava, that even though from the material point of view he was old, his service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not slacken. His devotional service was not dependent on his body. Now that doesn't mean that when you are a pure devotee of the Lord, you are a great devotee of the Lord, that when you're 80 years old, you can jump like a 5-year-old boy because you're not the body. It doesn't mean that. No, it means that somehow or other, your devotional service goes on in spite of the body getting old. The service may not manifest in the same exact activities as one would do in youth, but still the service to Krishna is going on in all phases of life. Of course, this is the great example of Srila Prabhupada, who demonstrated up until his final moments in this world how to always preach Krishna consciousness. And you will find that is distinctive about Srila Prabhupada when compared to his contemporaries. Prabhupada talked about preaching up until his last breath, and he exhorted his devotees to carry on Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness. He exhorted like that up until his last moments. He never gave us the feeling that there's something else we should be doing We should become absorbed in a different way. No, from up until his last moments, he was constantly exhorting, go on spreading Krishna consciousness. If you distribute my books, I'll live for hundreds of years. He kept exhorting like that. He said, I never considered failure or success. I simply considered what is the order of my spiritual master. You'll find these utterances of Prabhupada and this vision of Prabhupada unique amongst his contemporaries. He kept emphasizing this point from the time of his preaching manifested in the West until his last moments. My Guru Maharaj told me to do like this, therefore I'm doing. I never thought of success or failure. My only secret is I tried to carry out what he said. And now I'm asking you all to do the same thing. Constantly he spoke like that up until his final moments in this world, always letting us know that to be absorbed in the activities that he gave us, this is the perfection of life, and we should go on expanding these activities that he gave us. So, in this way, we can certainly see Prabhupada's uniqueness, and we can see the unique vision that he had for us. Unique when compared to his contemporaries. But actually, when you look up the descent of succession, you see that Srila Prabhupada was simply pushing on the vision of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. When you look at Uddhava, you see how he was absorbed in Krishna's service. Therefore, Vidura wanted to hear from him. Vidura was concerned. I need to know about Krishna. Uddhava was Krishna's personal associate. Let me ask Uddhava, what's going on? Tell me about Krishna. What was Uddhava's first response? After he came out of his ecstatic trance, he said very dramatically, the sun of the world has set, and our house, the Yadu dynasty, has been swallowed by time. Krishna has left. This was Uddhava's first statement, very dramatic. And then Uddhava began to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By remembering his service, Uddhava began to think about all the service that he had done for the Lord, how the Lord had engaged him in transcendental loving service. And by remembering his service, Uddhava remembered the Supreme Lord. Because there's no difference between remembering the Lord and having the Lord. Therefore, Uddhava's absorption, his lifelong career in absorption in devotional service, brought about direct association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to have that kind of life. A life in which we have spent all our days absorbed in Krishna's service, so much so that when we think of our devotional service, we're thinking of Krishna, because remembrance of service to Krishna is directly associating with the Supreme Lord. Once Prabhupada was describing why this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest benefit for humanity. And we should think about that. Sometimes we just say like that, but we don't really think deeply why that is so. Why is the Krishna consciousness movement the greatest benefit, the greatest benediction for humanity? Prabhupada explained, it is so because it gives people the chance to always be engaged in Krishna's service. This was Srila Prabhupada's unique contribution, following in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. How can a person eat for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, think for Krishna, act for Krishna? Srila Prabhupada provided these activities in a systematic way so that anyone could spend their life absorbed in devotional service. This is quite an extraordinary thing. Now, we have to understand the background to Prabhupada's presenting this system of constant engagement. Now, so many of us know that Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. So, at the end of the Krishna book, the last pages of Prabhupada's favorite book, he said Krishna book was his favorite book, in the last pages, you find Prabhupada openly stating what his concerns were, openly stating his attachment to the mission and vision of his spiritual master and how to apply it. You have sort of a problem in Srimad Bhagavatam. Not really a problem, but you have something that requires some expert medical advice for application. Shukadeva Goswami has said, recommended in Bhagavatam, that if you want to be an advanced soul, you should leave your family, leave your material setting, and go to the forest. And there, you try to become Krishna conscious. Just like Prahlad Maharaj told Hiranyakashipu, Hittatma patam griham andagupam vanam gatoya dharamashveta. Prahlad Maharaj told his father, I think you should give up your emperorship, get out of the dark well of your materialistic life, and immediately go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Lord Hari, because anyone who has a material body must accept material consciousness unless they take a transcendental alternative. And that material consciousness means they're always in anxiety. Sadasamadvigya dhyamasagrahat. Because they've accepted the temporary, they have to be always in anxiety. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Hiranyakashipu, drop it all right now, go to the forest and take shelter of Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami also advises the same thing in the Bhagavatam. If you're at all interested in making spiritual advancement to the supreme perfection, leave for the forest, go to Vrindavan. And the whole Bhagavatam is spoken to Prinsip Maharaj, who has dropped everything upon hearing that he's about to die. He's walked away from world power, extraordinary opulence, beautiful family life. He's left it all at the drop of a hat. So, how is that supposed to happen now? This is the instruction of Shukadeva Goswami. This is the instruction of Prahlad Maharaj. But how can that actually happen? This is the meditation of the Acharyas. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he noted that by the end of the 19th century, Vaishnavism had sunk to very low repute because so many fakers and materially motivated persons were flooding into Vrindavan and taking up the guise of a Babaji or a mendicant, but their consciousness was not free from the bodily conception, and therefore these persons would simply have spiritual trouble in the holy dham. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur noted, the holy place is becoming over-flooded with such persons. This application, the way they're trying to apply Shukadeva Goswami's instruction, is not quite working. Now, it's not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would doubt the instruction of Shukadeva Goswami, but he was thinking how to apply that instruction so it actually works in the present situation. And then, of course, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spoke so heavily about immature persons trying to chant Hare Krishna in seclusion, immature persons trying to act on a platform that they're not on. So Prabhupada had that concern. And in the last pages of the Krishna book, he comes out with it completely. What to do? Shukadeva Goswami has said, go to the forest, find Krishna. But we can practically see, and he would say, my Guru Maharaj has pointed out that so many persons are becoming debauches by doing this because they're immature. They don't understand that they're immature. So, on the other hand, how are people to be engaged in always thinking of Krishna? How are people to remember Krishna? This whole chapter is remembrance of Lord Krishna. You're getting a full taste of Uddhava's transcendental consciousness, his ecstatic Krishna prema. That is the goal. So how are people to get that? On the one hand, you have these super high things. this presentation of consciousness in its most pure state, absorbed in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Then on the other hand, you have the fact that persons in trying for this consciousness, they're having big problems. They're even becoming debauches, they're becoming fakes, causing a great spiritual disturbance. So what to do? No one should try to be Krishna conscious? We should just give up? No. So Prabhupada, in pursuance of the order of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, devised a system of activities so that the remembrance of Krishna could be achieved in a safe way. You can't just say, no, it's impossible to that for you to strive for such levels of Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, when immature persons prematurely push themselves in pursuance of Shukadeva Goswami's instructions, they have problems. So what to do? Either we shut down Krishna consciousness completely, or you go to the other extreme and you have all these neophytes imagining that they're absorbed in Krishna prema and they're immediately qualified to step into the world of rasa just because it's there in the Bhagavatam. What to do? How to resolve all this? The resolving of this paradox is Srila Prabhupada's genius. By meditating on the instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada devised a system of activities by which remembrance of Krishna would be ours in a safe way. That is the contribution his Krishna consciousness movement is making. How from morning to night you can have your whole day packed with Krishna in a way that you won't go off track by imagining that you are absorbed in levels of spiritual advancement that you're not ready for. You won't have to worry that, how will I be Krishna conscious? I must go to the forest and simply try to sit there and chant and think of Krishna all day. No. Prabhupada gave us a system of activities that brings about constant engagement in Krishna's service. That was his loving, munificent gift to us all. By his system of activities, we can eat for Krishna, think for Krishna, sleep for Krishna, act for Krishna, everything for Krishna from morning to night. This was Prabhupada's transcendental genius. And this is why he was so concerned about preserving that gift. Because that gift is such a precious way to solve a very severe paradox. There is no doubt that the goal is to remember Krishna. There is no doubt the goal is to be absorbed in Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. You can't deny that. But at the same time, what to do when immature persons immediately try to plunge into simply remembering Krishna, dropping all activities and simply wanting to go in a solitary place and think about Krishna? The people aren't ready for that, although the cure is correct. Now sometimes devotees, they go to one extreme or the other. On the one extreme, just like they tried to argue, some devotees were arguing with Prabhupada here in Los Angeles. Why are you getting on our case? Basically they were telling Prabhupada, these things are in your books. These things are the highest, so we're doing that. They would get up in Prabhupada's face with that kind of, those kind of points. If they are in Chaitanya Charitamrita, remembering Krishna, thinking about Krishna's qualities, that's us. We're doing that, so what's wrong with that? Well, Prabhupada pointed out, yes, these highest things are there in the books, but you are the lowest. And he came up with his famous statement, don't jump like monkeys. Artificially jumping like a monkey from the ground to the high levels. No, first become a real devotee. So, you can go on that extreme that because Shukadeva Goswami said, leave everything and simply become absorbed in Vrindavan consciousness, we're doing that. Or, you go to the other extreme and you can say, it's just not possible, just forget about it, these things don't exist. You can't do that either. But Prabhupada figured out the transcendental intelligence, how to engage people in such a way that they would think of Krishna by thinking of their service. This is his unique contribution. And this is why he did not want his systematic, organized framework of activities to be tampered with, because it is the safest way to get the highest thing. And this method, the safest way to get the highest thing, is something that even his contemporaries didn't understand. And this is why Prabhupada insisted on keeping his organized system of activities intact, because it is difficult for others to understand. No one else came up with such a thing. And we're seeing commotion today because of that inability to understand this highest benediction, how to safely engage people in remembering and thinking of Krishna. So it's not that devotees are being sectarian and fanatical and, oh, what Prabhupada gave us, and we cannot look at what others did, and we cannot take advice from others outside of Prabhupada's line. It's not exactly that they're being fanatical or sectarian. It's they are trying to guard a transcendentally ingenious system that Prabhupada devised in order to carry out the will of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, once again, at the end of the Krishna book, in the last pages, you can feel Prabhupada's transcendental anxiety. It's right there on the pages. On the one hand, we cannot deny that Shukadeva Goswami said, drop everything and go hear about Krishna. We can't deny that. On the other hand, what can I do? My Guru Maharaj had anxieties that people are ruining themselves. They're ruining the name of Krishna consciousness by prematurely and immaturely trying to do what Shukadeva Goswami said. In other words, the fault is not with Shukadeva Goswami. The fault is with the rampant material desires of the day, which these material desires are making it so difficult for people to take Shukadeva Goswami's cure. So, how to qualify the people for Shukadeva Goswami's medicine? That was Prabhupada's transcendental intelligence. He inherited the anxieties of his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who always spoke about people trying to get cheap popularity by posing as an advanced Vaishnava, people trying to go off in seclusion when they weren't ready. Prabhupada just didn't shut that off. And well, that's the way Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur thought, but now we've got a whole new scene right now. It's up to me to come up with my own vision, my own perceptions. No, he inherited that anxiety of his Guru Maharaj, what to do. And there at the end of Krishna book, he just presents the whole thing, what he's feeling, what he's inherited, and what the solution is. And he also says at the end of Krishna book that I am confident that anyone who takes to reading this book, studying this book, and memorizing it, they will develop attachment for Krishna, and simply by this book they'll go back to Godhead. Well, these are the wonders that we've been presented, and therefore we can have access to what Uddhava is describing to Vidura. We're getting that association, but within the safe context of our lives being full of Krishna conscious activities. And they should be full of Krishna conscious activities. Only then can we understand a contradiction like what is in this verse. On the one hand, you're talking about smelling the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, even once. On the other hand, you're talking about how the Lord expands the leaves of his eyebrows, and in this way gives a death blow to demons. It's just two sentences, and apparently completely contradictory things. The nectar of the lotus feet, the aroma, the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet. Then on the other hand, you're talking about he moves his eyebrows and people die. How can you understand this? Only by absorbing in devotional service can you develop the transcendental intelligence to appreciate Krishna's beauty. And that is our aspiration, because it's natural that living entities with developed consciousness, they want beauty in their life. They want the beauty of relationships. They want the beauty of art. They want the beauty of knowledge. Everyone feels good when there's some beauty in life. But what can be more beautiful than Krishna? Uddhava also makes that point. Krishna's beauty is so extraordinary that even Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha is attracted. The other avatars, like Ram, Nrisimha, they are attracted to the beauty of Krishna's activities. And the activities that the Lord displays when he comes to the material world are unprecedented, even according to the Vaikuntha standard. Particularly the Lord's activities with the gopis and the queens of Dwarka. They are extraordinary, even from the viewpoint of what the residents of Vaikuntha can experience. The more we read what Uddhava is talking about, the more we develop appreciation for Srila Prabhupada and how he's devised a way to give us safe access to develop to these highest levels. If we can indeed take advantage of Prabhupada's statement that the highest welfare work or benediction that this Krishna conscious movement is giving is that people can always be engaged, then indeed we'll be able to relish such extraordinary sections of the Bhagavatam as this. You see, Prabhupada didn't just say, simply believe in Krishna, add a little chanting to your life, that's it. No. He presented a system of activity so that round the clock, persons could make spiritual advancement, and in that way, they could actually go back to Godhead. This is something that's so important. Once we appreciate the value of what Prabhupada has given, then naturally we become more attached to his books, and through purified vision we can begin to see the rarity of what is being presented here. Here we are in the midst of Uddhava's ecstatic state. He's come out of trance and he's speaking these things to Vidura, remembering Krishna, discussing the paradoxes of the Lord's appearances, discussing the Lord's activities through his own realization because he was Krishna's personal associate. All these things have been given to us, and we've also been given the methodology how we can strive for high levels in Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't overlook Prabhupada's genius in how he did it, because he solved an extraordinary paradox. He solved the situation of how you can follow Shukadeva Goswami in the modern day context, how you can strive for always thinking of Krishna without putting yourself in a risky, dangerous situation. How all kinds of people can have a hope for absorption in Krishna without having to incur the danger of becoming debauches or immature or prematurely ripe devotees. This is what Prabhupada developed on behalf of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Any questions or comments?
Yes? I think you mentioned that Shukadeva Goswami, you can't imitate him, which is the position. You know, we renounce the material immediately and go to the course. And I was thinking about, in terms of the third canto, you're thinking about that. And then you took his wife Archie, you took one across the left to the course. And he was living off of a little water. Sometimes you can drink any water, you can live air, living off the air, and it really seems very incredible. because it's not possible to follow to any other temple, not the Lord's Swami, to get his established temples. But we were saying, we can follow a nice silent and emotional service. We can do that, imitate these great Christians and families.
Yes. As briefly as we discussed, how to get that same thing that Shukadeva Goswami is pointing to, how to get that, how everyone can get that, that is Prabhupada's miracle. Not to deny that, oh no, don't forget about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, you'll never get it, love of Krishna is impossible for you. Then you go to the other extreme. Ah, just anybody can think of Krishna all the time. Anyone can hear about rasa. Anyone can just immediately have access to intimate things. That's the other extreme. On the one hand, you have, it's impossible. Just forget it. On the other hand, toss it everywhere. Prabhupada's brilliance is how to devise a system of activities, his ISKCON system of activities, so that the goal could be achieved in a practical way. This was his solving of his Guru Maharaj's anxiety. I think we're a bit over time, so all glories to the Prabhupada.